This evening, if you have your Bibles, and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Sunday afternoon, we looked at a very sad day in the life of the house of David. David had a number of wives, and that wasn't God's plan. David had a number of children by these wives, a number of sons by the various wives. And as we saw on Sunday, he also had a daughter who was very beautiful, and her half-brother lusted after her and ended up committing sexual sin with her and doing it against her will. We saw the consequences of that in her life, and that she was devastated. And her brother that had done this to her looked glibly upon it and cast her out. Her other brother, who was her full brother, was Absalom. Now I want you to understand, as we look at the circumstances, David was made aware of everything that had happened. David was not only the father of these children, but he was also the king of Israel. David is referred to one who is a man after God's own heart. But oftentimes David did not do right things, just like we don't do right things, even as we are believers. When David was confronted with this situation, we read in chapter 13 his response. In verse 21 it says, "But when King David heard of these things, he was very wroth, very angry." But that's where it stopped. He was angry at his children for the circumstances that had happened, angry at his son Amnon for what he had done. But then you don't see anything. There is nothing, again, in Scripture of David dealing with this. And I want you to see how long Scripture is silent on this whole situation. The next verse, it says in verse 22, "And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass after 2 full years." 2 years. And you hear nothing that David does except become very, very angry. I remember the importance of discipline, but God calls us to discipline and direct our children not only when there are small situations in life, but through the big troubles of life as well. A number of years ago, there was a psychologist who said he was a Christian psychologist, which is an oxymoron. But the sixth Christian psychologist really developed a way of discipline that was similar to what David did, except that it wasn't as dramatic in its results, but it could be. And then he said that the way you discipline your children is you go, give them a warning signals. One, 2, 3, now I'm going to discipline you. But most people, even when they got to 3, never disciplined. It'd be kind of like 3.5. If we don't discipline our children properly and don't follow through with discipline, there are horrible circumstances that can result. I want you to understand, Absalom was very angry. He was angry with his brother, his half-brother Amnon, for what he had done to his full sister, Tamar. And what Amnon had done violated two of God's commandments. Well, actually, the Bible tells us when you break one of the commandments, you've broken them all. And really, what he had done is he had lusted after his sister. He committed rape with her, and then he had rejected her. All horrible sin. It was worthy of death. When David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, according to Jewish law, that was worthy of death. The difference between David and Amnon is David was confronted very quickly after that had been done by Nathan the prophet, and the sin was laid before him so that David knew that God knew. And David repented. Nothing's done for Amnon. David, it says, is so angry. And one has to believe he's not only angry at his children, but he's angry at what they've done to violate the character of God, what they have done to come against God's word, what they have done not to show love and respect to one another, and how they have destroyed even the name of David's own family. But yet David never confronts his son. I remember when I was in high school, there was one of the kids that was a year older than me. And I remember all through high school, whenever he would do anything or get in trouble, his parents would say, he didn't do it, it was somebody else's fault. I want to tell you, that did not help him at all. I remember a number of years later, going up to St. Luke's at the time, and I was going to visit a family member who was in the hospital, and they put him up on the psych ward because their beds were short. And he'd had brain surgery. And as I was visiting him and coming out of his room, I saw this young man walking down the hallway, and I thought, oh, he must be an orderly or doing something and working in the hospital. And I asked him, oh, are you working here? And he said, no. They found me running through the woods, out of my mind on drugs. And he's in there to clean himself up. And I thought, had his parents never confronting him with consequences to choices helped him? The answer is no. It had harmed him. And God tells us as parents that we are responsible for revealing to our children the importance of understanding consequences to decisions and choices they make. Nathan the prophet had confronted the king of Israel with his choices and the real consequences of those and how that they had violated God's character, and that was the most horrible consequence at all. And David repented and confessed his sin immediately and cried out for God's forgiveness. Amnon was never confronted. And what resulted is that Absalom wanted to take revenge on his brother. And really, Absalom decided to become the prosecutor, judge, and executioner of his brother. And let's take a look at what happens. And it came to pass after two full years that Absalom had sheepherders in Baal-Habar, which is beside Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And they're going to have a feast because it was that time of the year. They were celebrating the bringing together of the sheep and shearing of the sheep and the bringing in of the crop of wool. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold, now thy servant hath sheep here. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant." In other words, can we go together and we're going to have a celebration, and I want all my brothers there. The king said to Absalom, "Nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee." And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. And so the king says, "Well, I'm not going to go, but I'll bless you." But Absalom pressed him, that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, "Mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him upon his mule and fled. So we have all the king's sons that gather together in Ephraim with Absalom as he puts together this celebration. And when Amnon least expects it, Absalom has his servants smite and kill Amnon. Did this have to happen? David needed to stop it before it ever started. How long did Absalom wait before he put together this scheme? 2 years. 2 years. I want you to understand that God wants us to act upon situations in our life quickly. Because when we don't, sins fester and attitudes can grow that not only impact us, but other people. Had David dealt with this and dealt with Amnon, Absalom could have been dealt with before he committed this horrendous act. Now David has two sons that have done horrible things. And two sons that have done things that are worthy of death. And Amnon has paid with his life. But his executioner was his brother. And God never told Absalom to be Amnon's executioner. But because this was murder. This wasn't something that just happened by chance. It wasn't an accident. This was a scheme put together to bring about the death of Amnon. The Bible is very clear that when one sheds blood, then your blood is to be shed. It's a very, very sad account. The other sons of the king see what's happened, and they fear for their lives, and they all get on their donkeys. If you can imagine all these young men getting on these donkeys, and all of a sudden the donkeys taking off for the hills, it's kind of in the midst of all this turmoil, it's kind of a funny scene. But David doesn't know that the other sons were not harmed. And oftentimes what happens in situations like this, people use them to spread on truths, which can only create more issues. And that's exactly what we see here. When you have situations occur that aren't dealt with properly, lies can come very quickly. And that's what happens here. And it came to pass when they were in the way, that tidings came to David saying, "Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left." Well, is that the truth? You see how sin begets sin, which begets sin? And all of a sudden you've got all of this because we don't deal with things initially. It grows greater and all of a sudden it spreads even further. Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. You know, when David was very wroth, why didn't he tear his garments and cry out to the Lord at that time? Why didn't he do that 2 years earlier to prevent having to do it now, thinking that all of his sons were dead? You know, the other night we were just visiting, and you know, I never really thought about it, but you realize Amnon was the eldest of all David's sons. He was the one that was in line to be king. Going back in the history of Israel, there was another circumstance similar to this, not exactly the same, but similar. When Jacob had his 12 sons, and all of them, except probably the youngest, had grown to adulthood. And Reuben, being the oldest, was a young man. And it says that Reuben lay with one of Jacob's concubines. And Jacob was upset. But Jacob dealt with it. Reuben was in line, like Amnon was in line, to be the one that was to be the inheritor of the blessing and the birthright. Just as Amnon was in line to inherit the throne, what Jacob did is he dealt quickly with Reuben and he disciplined Reuben, and discipline resulted in consequences, but it put an end to the situation. He told Reuben, because that you are not stable, and Reuben wasn't stable because he didn't think through consequences. He didn't think through the consequences of what he had done with his stepmother. And because he didn't think through those consequences, he didn't deserve the right to inherit the birthright nor the blessing. So Reuben, who was the eldest, was told, you will have neither. You forfeited that right. But Jacob never disowned Reuben as a son, but he dealt with it, and there were real consequences to what Reuben had done, Jacob made those consequences real in Reuben's life. And when it came time for the blessings as Jacob was dying, Reuben did not receive what he otherwise would have. Had David done something similar, Amnon probably would not have been killed by Absalom. Absalom spent 2 years waiting for David to act. Oftentimes, one of the things we, especially as men, need to do in our families is understand what leadership means. Leadership means not just getting mad when the kids misbehave and out of anger disciplining or doing nothing. Because that's oftentimes the way that men deal with things. But rather, we are to show forth the character of Christ and take our responsibility seriously as the spiritual head of the home, which David should have done. But he didn't. And we are to deal with our children and discipline them, lest other things sprout up in their lives. And when one looks at the character of Amnon, one has to believe that he felt entitled and that he didn't have to respond to rules and he didn't have to do what other people had to do, especially when you look at what his sisters, what the response was between them after the event occurred, where she said, "Go to my father, ask, and he will give my hand in marriage to you." And instead, he kicked her out of the room and said, "I don't want to see you again." It's important that men model godly behavior for their children. It's important that men discipline their children. And that they discipline it out of the love for their children, because they do not want sin to consume and destroy their children, but they want their children to be set free from it. As Absalom does this, and as David finds all of this out, Jonadab, who's David's nephew, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother, answered and said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men in the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar." So this has been brewing for 2 years. "Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead." But Absalom fled. And the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people on the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, "Behold, the king's sons come, as thy servant said, so it is." And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept, and the king also and all his servants wept very sore. This is not a happy day in Israel. It's never a happy day when not only families are torn apart, but you have the king, the leader of the nation's family torn apart, and the death of one of his sons at the hands of another. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amminahud, king of Geshur, and David mourned for his son every day. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. So David realized, "Amnon's dead, and I long to go to Absalom." The sad thing is, he doesn't go to Absalom. He does with Absalom the same thing he did with Amnon. He doesn't go. The scriptures are silent on exactly what Amnon's response would have been, and if he longed to have his father come and help him through this difficult time in his life. They don't tell us anything about that, but it does tell us what Absalom's response was. Absalom longed for his father to come. He longed for David to deal with this, but he didn't. And it only grows worse. I know that sometimes it's so easy for us to put things off. And hopefully there's nothing this serious happening in our homes, but sometimes when we put things off and don't deal with them immediately, it doesn't lead to things coming better. It only grows worse. One of the things that should happen in a Christian home is that mom and dad should be in constant communication and fellowship with one another. And if they're not, there can become a division between them, and kids pick up very quickly on this. And consequently, oftentimes kids will test parents because they want to see limits. And if parents don't set limits, it only makes the children more rebellious. Absalom wanted to be dealt with by his father. And it's only going to lead to Absalom becoming more and more rebellious against his dad. And so the warning that should be given to us as we look at this whole sad and sorrowful thing is, sin is a real thing. And Satan loves to destroy families with sin. Men are called to be the spiritual protectors of their families. And we're to deal with the love of Jesus when it comes to dealing with the sin in our lives and the lives of our home, of those that are in our home. And we don't need to stand back and hope it'll go away and heal itself, because it won't. David wept. And now he's come to reality that Amnon is dead, and now he's weeping over Absalom. Two sons lost. A sad day in the history of Israel. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand the importance as men of taking spiritual leadership in our homes, even sometimes when it's not easy, and not leaving it up to others, whether it be our wives or others. And Father, oftentimes when we do, the consequences can be very bad. And Father, help us to look to you and call on your name and to seek to walk in the power of your Spirit and to be led by you and to deal with sin, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of our children, quickly, lovingly, prayerfully, being led by you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to hymn number 182. I'm sorry, 482. I'm sorry, 482. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, wherever the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge of mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark in the stain that we cannot hide, what can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow that may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater.
our sin. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Lord, we just thank You that Your grace is greater than our sin. Lord, may we come to You and may we call upon Your name and may we seek Your wisdom and Your direction and Your help. And may we offer our confession before You of our sin and may we seek to honor and glorify You. And Lord, may You help us through the difficult times of life. Give us the boldness and courage to deal with situations as they arrive and not let them fester and grow. And Father, I pray that You would help us to walk in the power of Your Spirit as we do it. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.